Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hello and welcome to The Power of Reinvention. I'm super excited to have my guest, Marissa Thalberg, with us today. And as many of you know, we started this podcast because I came out with an amazing book about 2.5 years ago called The Power of Reinvention. I'm sorry, called, what is the name of my book? My goodness, I've been saying this for too long. Called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For? Ironically, it came out right at the beginning of the pandemic, but the beauty is that it sort of became the guidebook for this time in our lives. Everything that I was saying in the book that we should all be thinking about doing, sitting back, listening, pausing, reflecting on our lives, are we really doing what we want to be doing, was really the premise of the book and was the topic of conversation for the last 2.5 years with everybody. So I very quickly pivoted. Instead of doing book launch parties and events all over the country, I turned it all virtual, created the Reinvention Virtual Chat, hosted some unbelievable guests over the last 2 years, and launched the podcast about 1.5 years ago. So I'm super excited for Marissa to be joining us today. Hi, Marissa. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
I want to give a little background on you, just for our audience, to give some context to your perspective on a lot of this conversation. So Marissa was named one of the most influential and innovative CMOs in the world by Forbes and Business Insider, among the many. Marissa is known for inspiring teams to take brands to new heights of consumer resonance, cultural relevance, and business performance. She's moved across industries and has worked for some of the greatest companies in the world, including just leaving her post as the Chief Brand and Marketing Officer of Lowe's. And also prior to that, she was the Global Chief Brand Officer of Taco Bell and was the pioneer of digital, social, and e-commerce marketing at the Estee Lauder Companies. She's also currently on the boards of the Ad Council, the MMA, the ANA CMO Growth Council. And I think one of the funnest things, and I really do want to talk about this, is that she, in 2002, founded the organization Executive Moms, which she ran actively for 13 plus years, all while doing all those incredible other jobs that she was doing, not to mention that she herself is a mom. So the biggest job of all. So I just, you know, 2002, you were way ahead of your time. I think we see a lot of these kinds of organizations and things these days, but you and I both, I mean, my having run my own business for, dare I say, almost 35 years now, you know, I think you had the insight to understand that it was quite a job to juggle it all. Not that we, all of us women, haven't realized that, but you really got out there and helped, you know, helped give everybody a voice and a place to connect and create community around that conversation. So before we delve deeply into that piece of the conversation, I would really love to just kind of take you back a little bit in time, Marissa. Cool. I want to just hear about who little Marissa was and what were your dreams and your goals in life. And did you imagine that this was the career and the life that you'd be living, or did you envision something else? And maybe, you know, what were some of those reinvention moments along the way, or those aha moments, as I like to call them?
It's funny you asked that, because I was just sharing this with someone last night when I, you know, of course, every child gets asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then you reflect back and think about how you answered that question. And I used to say with you know, a fair amount of certainty, I want to be either an actress or a lawyer. And some people would laugh at that, like that was funny. And I was just talking to a lawyer friend of mine the other day, and he said, that's because they're exactly the same. So
that's great.
I didn't quite become either one of those things, but.
Well, wait a minute. Come on. In the work that we do in the world of marketing, there is a lot of negotiation, right?
Yeah,
which lawyers have to do. And, you know, getting on stage in front of people, getting in a room and really turning it on.
is I think there are some common denominators to my career that ensued. And I had a couple of interesting little sidebars along the way. I actually did become a TV producer early in my 20s at one point.
Oh, really?
It was all oriented around this idea of really, really liking to be a communicator and liking to be able to connect dots and figure out how to make an emotional connection with people and persuade them through the strength of ideas. So, I mean, when you sort of boil it down at its essence, or at least the essence that attracted me, that's the part that I still feel excited about. I am giddiest in my work when something really creative that's going to solve a big problem in an untraditional way is uncovering itself. That's when I'm in my happy zone.
In your flow, as they say, right?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty amazing to be able to build a career doing what you're passionate about is quite extraordinary. And, you know, I talk a lot about this with my guests in my book and conversations every day. I think, you know, we're surrounded in an industry that we're in with incredible people. And I was at an Adweek event luncheon here in Los Angeles yesterday. And somebody on the panel said that, you know, creativity in business is such a wonderful thing because we really get to create solutions for problems. We get to be creative in how we get from point A to point B to point Z to the consumer, to the other businesses we're doing business with. And it's a fun creative business role that we get to play. And using our imagination and thinking outside the box is critical to what we do. So I have seen from the sidelines until we recently got to really connect and meet a little bit more that seems to be something that you've been able to do throughout your career. So we've gone from you being a young lady to sort of where you are today, but there was all that in between stuff, right, that got you there. Where were the turns in the road? Were there aha moments? Was it, you know, what you studied in college because you knew that's what you wanted to do, or certain early career moves? Were there moments in time where you sort of had to look at what you were doing and going, this is not quite where I wanted to be, or I'm exactly where I want to be, but now I want to do more? And I feel like reinvention moments come in all shapes and sizes, right? They're either out of adversity or opportunity. They're 5-minute reinventions. They're 10-year reinventions.
Right,
so
right.
What for you and in your path to get where you are today were some of those moments that really stand out to you?
I mean, the funny thing is there have been so many twists and turns in the path, and it's been anything but linear. And even today, it's not linear. But I think the secret is to, and by the way, the secret has taken some time to really fully embrace, but to actually lean in to those twists and turns and believe that there's some purpose in them and it's all meant to be part of your journey. And I hate sounding, sort of very new agey about that because I'm not.
A little woo-woo, a little esoteric.
Really, really practical. And, you know, I've thought all along very motivated about, you know, being able to accomplish great things, support my family. I mean, I just think we sometimes have these conversations without the practicalities associated with it. For example, when I started the organization Executive Moms, part of why I always did it on top of my corporate career is I wasn't ready to, you know, say I'm just going to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I had a corporate career that I was proud of, but it also grounded me and also provided for my family. So I just think sometimes a little bit of the pragmatism has to be woven into the reinvention conversation. But I'm here to say that's okay. Like it should be, but it becomes part of the lens of your decision making. It's what are the factors that are both personal, motivational, and then pragmatic that all kind of work into your personal calculus of how you're going to, you know, figure out what's next. And sometimes you're the one that jumps off the pier, so to speak, and other times you get pushed. And I think in a way it doesn't really matter because then you're just in a position of change and you take all the good that you drew on and frankly learn from the parts that disappointed you, hurt you. And as I always tell my daughters, I mean, the one social science fact that has stuck with me more than any other is that the singular characteristic that defines all successful people, no, it's not their socioeconomic background, their education level, it's their resilience. So resilience is hard, you know, but, and it's something you don't just have, you have to build, you have to work at it. You have to make yourself resilient, determine that you're going to be resilient. And that is, you know, one of the most incredible, actually the singular aspect that defines successful people. So I think about that. I mean, resilience is always won in the hard moments. You don't have to be resilient when everything is smooth sailing.
True. So true. But how, let me ask you this, because our audience is so diverse, from our peers in the industry to those who are really trying to reinvent parts of their lives, whether it's personal business or anything else in their world. When someone's not feeling it or they don't have the tools to be resilient, they're fearful of making a change, but they know they need to make it. It's risky. You know, whether they're the single mom raising two children, they can't give up their job to go live their dream job or dream life, if that may be the case. Or, you know, it's a hard decision, but a fun one. And I love what you said earlier. Sometimes, you know, you found yourself leaning into the twists and turns because those were learning opportunities and moments to grow. How does one create the tools to have that? Is it reaching out and having mentors in your life? Is it reading good books, listening to, you know, what is it that one can do when they don't naturally have that ability to feel that way? And I think it's hardest, you know, we can sit here when we're in a good place in our lives and say, oh yeah, I'm strong and I can get it. And that would be fun. But when you're in the moment, you're almost paralyzed, right, by the fear that comes with that. So how do we move through that moment when we're trying to get to the other side?
I mean, I wish I had a perfect one size fits all answer. And I don't think there's been
I don't think there is one.
And I don't think there is one in general. And I think, certainly talking about this with friends and colleagues. And I do feel that there, you know, the same insight that led me to create Executive Moms, I think is the same insight that I draw now is, you know, and if you'll allow me just to go there for a second.
Oh, please, please.
Moms, I think the fundamental insight was so basic, which is that, you know, people in general, and I'd add accomplished people, generally don't need some didactic, like magazine view of five ways to live your life better. Like what we really need is a sense of not being alone in our struggles. And the simple energy that we derive from shared experience and a little bit of commiseration and connection. And then with that, maybe some advice and practice, but it's really that just simple, oh my gosh, look at these other people just like me who are going through the same thing and they seem pretty fabulous and together. So maybe that holds a different mirror up to me. That in a way became the real insight underneath Executive Moms.
I love that. I love that.
Community. And I think now in turn, I feel lucky that I have built a bit of a network. And for me, it's not formal. It's, you know, its edges are really kind of wavy because who's in my network? I mean, I can't even define it.
Which is wonderful in every single way, though. Okay. It really is.
That's good. But I think those are the people, like, for example, as I'm going through a transition myself right now, I see friends, colleagues, people I've admired who I can't believe I'm lucky enough to call friends, who by the nature of what we do are also in transitions. And they're such rock stars to me. And then when we talk about it, it's like, oh, okay, this is just how our industry works. This is especially people like us who've taken bigger risks. And, you know, it's very, I think everything in life is trade-off. So I think you can coast or put yourself in safer situations and you may not have as many twists and turns in that road. But are you going to feel as rewarded by the road?
You know, I love what you're saying here, Marissa. This is sort of the drop mic moments that I just love. And I think we'll be sharing a lot of these tips on our social platforms and continue to really share this conversation. It is so important that people do reach out to others. You'd be surprised how much people actually want to help you, how much joy and satisfaction people get from being able to pay it forward. And having that network and really being able to know that you are not alone. And, you know, it's a lot of my book has got 30 interviews in it with a lot of our friends in the business and, you know, men and women from all walks of life. And the whole point of that for me was if they can do it, you can do it. And just knowing that and knowing that, you know, today may be a hard day, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Focus on the goals, focus on what you're passionate about. Use the time to rethink about what's important to you. What do you value? And what are you actually doing? Have you really been doing what you value in life? Or is this an opportunity to recalibrate and pivot? And that's what a lot of us did over the last 2.5 years, because we were being asked that question, you know, in a number of different ways. And it was almost divine intervention, sadly, that it enabled a lot of people to really kind of rethink that way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you really hit the nail on the head in what you just said, because those are the tools and those are the emotions we have to allow ourselves to kind of go through and say, it's okay. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to take a risk. It, you know, and what's the worst that could happen? If you make the wrong decision, you take the wrong job, you can recalibrate again. It's not definite.
Right. And I think it's so important for people who've actually lived these experiences to talk honestly about it versus people who have just sort of made a career out of pontificating about it, because it's different when you've had to put some of these philosophies to the test. Like when you talk about putting yourself in risky situations, when you talk about living your authenticity in the workplace, like those things, unless you've really been confronted with or put yourself in a situation where you've done them, it's really hard to separate what's theory from reality and how to really then think about what both reinventing means, but also honoring who, you know, your own brand, if you will, living your brand.
Yeah.
Something I've been thinking a lot about. I love what you said earlier, that because reinvention just sounds like such a wholesale concept, you know, end to end, but you said it could be 5 minutes of reinvention or 10 years. And I think that's really important, is to not think of it as becoming something totally different than who you are, but just
a little piece,
adapting, changing, taking new chances, learning new things, putting yourself in different career opportunities, because as cliche as it is, those are the moments where we all grow the most, when you're doing something new.
And you're a little out of your comfort zone. And your habits.
Yes.
And it's funny, one of the blogs that it's on Thrive Global this week, and we just posted in our newsletter that went out this morning. And so if anybody's out there and haven't tuned in to the reinventionexchange.com and want to subscribe to the newsletter, you know, you're getting weekly blogs and content about these conversations. But this one today speaks to exactly what you just said. And it is, you know, whether you drive to work a different way, go to the back of your closet, pull out something different that you haven't worn, change your perspective, tweak it, because what comes back to you is going to be different than what you experience every single day. Go to a different Starbucks. You may run into somebody different that suddenly changes your life. You have no idea. So changing it up just a little bit, even if we're fearful of change. I mean, for me, change is a huge adventure. And I've spent my whole life with a lot of changes from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I look at it as adventure and fun and an opportunity to grow and learn and connect with more and different people and things in life. For everybody, it doesn't feel that way, but I think that's super valuable, right?
Well, I think, frankly, one of the things you can reinvent is your relationship with change. I didn't think of myself as adventurous, and people think I am. I mean, here's one thing that I and my family never thought we could do, which was relocate. I mean, we were those New Yorkers. I was an actual born and bred New Yorker.
Oh my God, one of the few.
Husband and I were, I mean, happily raising our daughters in New York City and had a little bit of that mentality that many New Yorkers get, like, why would anyone live anywhere else? Even
though
you carry that as a little bit of armor, because New York is the best, but also oftentimes the hardest place to live. And then when the opportunity presented itself to become the CMO of Taco Bell, the timing was right. And we did what really was the unthinkable for us then, which was to move our family. And now we moved to Southern California, which turned out to be an extremely lovely transition.
It's not so bad on this coast, is it? It
softened the blow, given that we were living like right by the ocean, and it was great.
That doesn't hurt.
It didn't suck. Yeah, it might have given us a little bit of a biased view of relocation as we then did it again. But the point is, like, that was just out of the realm of consideration up until then. And when people thought it was funny and interesting, and I did lean into that part that I would go from luxury beauty to fast food, the truth was that didn't scare me nearly as much as moving. So it's just, and whereas someone else might feel absolutely the opposite about those things, but, you know, doing that and doing something that was so scary, no question, was an incredible growth moment, I'd say, for my whole family.
I was going to say for your kids as well. I mean, that's why I feel so blessed that I had that in my life.
Agree. And now I think about it differently. Like, there are trade-offs when you do it. I mean, I look at some friends, and I had this too, who just will have like that sort of family home in one location. And now it's like, well, that's not us, but we gained a lot in the process. And so I think just being able to appreciate that, my husband gets embarrassed that I quote him on this, but then we moved to Charlotte for Lowe's, which really, really out of our comfort zone. And by the way, all the learnings don't necessarily have to be like learnings because everything was good. It can be learnings of, you know what, I tried this and I realized where something is too out of like what.
Exactly. I want this. I don't want that. Now I know where my bars and my barriers are. Right.
But you don't have to, I don't look at any of those things with regret. I just look at them with a sense of, wow, look at how we grew and how we learned. And, you know, when people were asking us, our friends who really couldn't believe now we were living in North Carolina, how is it? And is it good? People would be like, is it good? And my husband finally just said, and he wasn't, I don't think, trying to be super philosophical, but he said, well, we make it good. And
I love that.
We've just sort of really taken to that, because in all the ways in which life throws us curveballs that we truly can't control, like a relationship that goes sour, a diagnosis that one day everything's fine. I mean, the things that make life feel so fragile, but the one part of sort of self-determination in that I've really tried to be better at, not perfect, is recognizing how much like we can control how we handle it and how we perceive it.
So true and so important. It really is about that moment and, you know, and reaching out and connecting. I think many of us don't realize, and I think you said this a little earlier, how many other people are in the same boat or that can relate or that can help pull you through and not feeling alone in that moment, whether it's good or frightening, is a wonderful thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you this. On the business side, with all of these changes in the world, we're dealing with an incredibly changing landscape in the marketing space. You know, things are moving faster than ever. You know, CMO jobs are changing faster than ever everywhere. Coming out of the last couple of years and what we've all gone through and these changes in company cultures and brands really rethinking their purpose, what's your perspective now? And as you're kind of looking at your new opportunities and where you want to sort of lean into your passion, what do you think is important that's going on and the types of companies that feel more interesting to really lean into?
Well, I'll try to break that down into a couple of parts, because there's the whole topic of the role of the CMO, which has right. been, I think somewhat sensationalized, but also somewhat fairly, because, you think about other C-suite functions and they tend to be pretty, like a CFO is a CFO is a CFO pretty consistently, no matter the company, the sector, private, public, with obviously some variations, but there isn't a lot of ambiguity about what the role of the CFO is, for example. And the role of the CMO, from how it's titled to what its actual scope of responsibilities are to where it sits organizationally, is different almost everywhere. And so I think that puts incredible strain on both the individual and the organization because of the fit of what, especially a new person coming in who might have a suite of experiences and therefore expectations and ambitions for what the role can and should contribute to the management of a company, versus maybe how it's historically been. And
yeah.
I think in every situation I've been in a leadership marketing role, I've always been, I've always seen the remit to involve some reinvention. I mean, to use your word, and transformation. Yeah. But
right.
that involves change, and change is one of those things that people say they want, but aren't, you're never
very resistant. Yeah. So
I think that's really, really challenging in terms of setting the role up for success. And also, until we really understand that this is the role that is or should be the engine of growth and not perceived as, in the worst of all scenarios, just like a cost center or just making the ads or something just... that really diminishes what I think the most talented CMOs bring to the table. This is always just going to be a struggle. And then in turn, that's going to create these shorter tenures, scapegoating, a whole lot of things that, as someone who loves this role, finds frustrating, not just for myself, but really on behalf of what, our industry and my peers. And so, I feel like there's just a lot of opportunity for the business world to catch up and recognize that. And I mean the business world in a broad sense.
Right.
So on the one hand, I have that to say about that. And then in terms of, where the economy, the economy, obviously, we've been through an interesting bell curve and reverse bell curve, where in COVID, certain businesses really actually did quite well, and others were obviously pummeled, like hospitality and travel. Statement of the obvious. And now that we're back in, a sort of post-COVID, but more depressed economic environment, a strained economic environment, shy of a recession, but obviously everyone thinking we might be heading into a recession, it's put a lot of strain on retail, on other businesses that might be related, as people look at their disposable income and think about where it's best allocated. That said, I think through highs and lows, companies always need talent, and the right companies understand, or wise companies, I should say, understand that how you conduct yourselves in these periods of difficulty, it's a lot like an individual. And that's what really can make or break you. And there's plenty of data that shows that companies that lean in and really work on their customer relationships through an economic downturn come out stronger, better, for the long term, than those who don't. So I just think it's less about, for me, giving sort of a prognosticator's view of what industries are good or not good right now, and more like, is it the right product, service, industry with the right, management team or board or investors or whatever, who all are have the right vision for how to conduct themselves now for the short term and the long term.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because we're, you know, companies like us as individuals personally have really been able to, or been forced to probably more than anything, kind of really rethink who they are, what they stand for, how they're running their businesses, what is their mission statement, what is their purpose, how are they going to show up in a better way for hopefully a better outcome as a company and as a business, which I think, you know, that trickles all the way down through the company. And individually, people will have more connection to the company because they are being more thoughtful about who they are and how they're, and, you know, clearly that's not everybody, but I think you and I both know of many in the industry who were seeing that, you know, that positive impact and that thoughtfulness that otherwise folks never would have stopped long enough to even give a thought to.
Yeah.
And this was sort of the necessity at this point in life. So look, I appreciate your input on this and your insights. You've been in so many sectors of the business and you've looked at so many different demographics and areas of business from, you know, the perspective that you've had in these years at these wonderful companies. So, you know, just really wanted to kind of get a bit of your thoughts on that. So I really appreciate it. I have one more fun question before we sign off.
Great. I love it.
If you were to have a dinner party and be able to invite just four or five really amazing people that you feel would be super interesting, impacted your life in some way, who might that be, dead or alive?
Oh, gosh, you're killing me with these. I would invite the Obamas because, and that's not trying to be partisan in any way. I just think, I actually don't necessarily even agree with every single thing, but I just think in terms of fascinating people to have at my dinner table, I would include both of them.
Love that.
I had a chance to meet, hear from Malala in Cannes this year. And I would love to put her back at the dinner table because, I mean, she's so young, she's experienced and seen so much, and talk about someone who has a vision for how to turn adversity into good.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else would I want? I'd love to have my parents back to talk to them about everything that's happened.
I love that.
If they were there, they'd talk the other guests' ears off and I'd be a little embarrassed, but.
Oh, that sounds perfect. Find a good bottle of wine and that conversation.
Sounds
perfect.
I don't know. There's so many people that it becomes so hard to name, and I'm going to feel probably unsatisfied with how I answered your question and we'll think of all these people.
Well, it's yours to do with as you wish. So, you know, create that dinner party.
I think about that more through the lens of, as I've built brands, like who would be their friend, like who would be at their table, more to think about how we personify ourselves. So I don't know if I just personified myself very well by who I added.
I love that though.
But it's a fun question.
It is. It is. It makes you kind of think, because I think, look, we reach across to friends, our loved ones, our grandparents, you know, mentors, Buddha, you know, good people who are in the world that we just want a chance to actually not listen to, but maybe ask a question of or have a little dialogue with. And then you imagine a few people around a table and what that conversation would actually sound like among everybody else talking to each other. So it's always fun to kind of romanticize about that. And I think it's just sort of a sweet way to sort of close out our episode and our conversation today. And I know you have a million and one things to get to. So I'm so appreciative that we were able to squeeze this into your schedule. And Marissa, I just really appreciate you and our new friendship and look forward to a lot more conversations over a dinner table with wine. And
I'm going to have a better answer for who you should invite next time.
Okay. We'll do an addendum. We'll do an addendum to it and post it to the podcast.
Sounds good.
And I just want to thank everybody who's tuned in today. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you want more inspiration and motivation or former episodes and conversations and chats and blogs and all that good content, it's all available at thereinventionexchange.com. Thank you. Have a wonderful day and happy reinventing, everyone. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.